The crumbling old church building needed remodeling. And so the preacher made an impassioned appeal, looking directly at the richest man in town. And at the end of the message, the rich man stood up and announced, "Pastor, I will contribute $1,000. And just then, plaster fell from the ceiling, struck him right, the rich man, right in the shoulder. He promptly stood again and shouted, "Pastor, I'll increase my donation to $5,000. But before he could sit down, plaster fell on him again, and he virtually screamed out, "Pastor, I will double my last pledge." He sat down, and a large chunk of plaster fell, hitting him right on the head. He stood once more and hollered, "Pastor, I'll give $20,000. And this prompted an elder on the other side of the room to say, "Hit him again, Lord, hit him again." All right. What do we do when the ceiling caves in? That's how the joke fits in with my message. Get it? What do we do when our world caves in? What do we do when crisis hits to such a degree? It's been a heavy week on my end of so many people. Most even aren't able to be here this morning, but it's been a heavy week for a lot of people, a lot of tears, a lot of different things going on, and I'm just struck by how hard life is sometimes and what the challenge is. And today I just want to bring a message of hope straight from our passage that was designed for today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I hope you can turn there in your Bible as well as we look at it up on the screen. How does a Christian respond when the hard times come? What do we do? All of us are going to face these questions sooner or later. I'm sure a lot of you already have. You've been in those moments where it just was hard and it was dark and you struggled. You almost feel like you're behind prison bars sometimes, don't you? But we all go through these deep trials eventually. And when that happens, everything we believe will be put on that firing line. The big question is, where is God during the crisis? A lot of people ask that. A lot of people lose their faith. They lose their hope in God when something bad happens. They turn away from God rather than leaning into him. Today, I'd like to challenge that as we look in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Can we pray real quick? Thank you for your word and for the opportunity to understand it and to make it real and applied into our lives. And so I pray for your Holy Spirit's help. In Jesus' name, amen. These new believers in Thessalonica were really, really under fire. They were being persecuted from day one by Jews who didn't like that these people were rebelling against their, the old Jewish faith, right? And then there were also even from the non-Jews, the Greeks, were upset that these people were just so fanatical and would leave their structure, their social structure of what, today we maybe in school you remember studying Greek mythology and all the gods and all the things, and they had temples for all these gods and all this stuff going on. It was just part of their structure. And now these brand new believers are rejecting all of that and saying, "We're going to follow Jesus Christ and him alone." And man, they were under fire. And our text shows how Paul really was there for him as a parent, loving them and encouraging and challenging them to keep going. I'd like to share with you 6 truths about hard times based on this passage. Where is God when crisis hits? Number one, first truth, our trials are unsettling. Duh, one of those, yeah, right? Obvious. Let's read verses 1 through 3. I think you'll get an idea of the struggle these guys were going through. Our trials are unsettling. Finally, Paul says, when we could stand it no longer, we, being Paul and Silas and Timothy, we decided to stay alone in Athens and to send Timothy to go visit you. He's our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. I'm going to stop there just to say Timothy definitely was going to be an encourager, someone to, keep things going. But I also kind of think, sounds like Paul was sending Timothy like almost like a spy. Say, we want to find out what's going on with you guys up there. So I'm sending Timothy and he's going to report back to me. So good luck with that, kind of thing. That's what he's saying. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles that you are going through. That would be awesome. Shaken by the troubles. I highlighted that for a reason. Our trials are unsettling. By the way, the distance between Athens and Thessalonica is about 350 miles. That's almost like us going from Portland to Vancouver, BC. That far away. And back then, transportation by foot or by whatever. That's quite a distance to send Timothy to go that far up in northern Greece. And Athens is way down in the south. That word shaken is so interesting because it's the only time that it appears in the Bible. And I'm always intrigued by it when Paul chooses a word like this that's only once. The Greek word, if anybody cares, is sino. And the first, this idea of being shaken, literally like shaken like this. And the first thing I thought about was how so many lives in our church family were shaken this week by different things that went on. There was some great news. We got engagement news. We got other things going on. It's awesome. But some really, really big, deep things happened. Oh, and by the way, I need to publicly say in the bulletin, Thomas and Brooke's wedding has been it's not happening. As I've been asking you the last couple Sundays to come support that. Now this week, it was horrible. And I wish I could explain all that was going on. But pray for me as I try to minister with that family, would you please? Because that's really what I'm trying to do. And anyway, that is not going to happen. Unsettling, certainly for that family and for the Kraus family and for a lot of us, different ones of us who are struggling with loss or different things, relationship problems, all that kind of stuff is tough. So I thought about that as I thought about being shaken by troubles, like literally shaken like an earthquake. And that was the other picture I got when I saw that word shaken. It's like all the earthquakes. I don't know if any of you have been watching in the news or feeling the earth, but there's been a lot of little earthquakes going on around our neck of the woods. Mountains, oceans. Apparently there's a huge one going on, you know, that this huge hole in the ocean now caused by some earthquake that was big. And it's just like over 30 earthquakes of 1.5 or bigger happened last week just here in Oregon. Okay, I didn't notice them, but it's kind of scary. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. You know, that's kind of scary. It's unsettling, isn't it? It's like, and then that earthquake movie came out this week. I don't remember what it's called, but San Andreas. Okay, good. I haven't seen it, but I don't need to see those kind of movies anymore. I like movies to be nice and fake and friendly and nice. I don't need reality movies. Anyway. Paul tells these people that I hope that when crisis comes, you won't be shaken. You won't be shaken. That word for troubles is also interesting. That's in the Bible a lot. When you see persecution or troubles or trials, 45 times, the word's thlipsis. Sounds like a disease. Thlipsis. That same word is used when someone would put, in the old Greek days, when someone would put extreme pressure onto something. Like, the first thing I thought of was, you know, a big thumb, and you're trying to put in a thumbtack into the wall or into something, and you just have to push really hard sometimes, and you just push and put that pressure. That's the thlipsis. That's that trouble, that trial. It's like that big thumb. You feel like that pressure's on you and on your shoulders sometimes. Trouble. It's heavy. It's hard. Sometimes stuff happens in our life that feels like that big thumb pushing down. I bet every one of you could put a name on your big thumb, couldn't you? Whether it be a person or a thing. A rebellious child, a mean coworker, your financial debt, a struggling marriage, a sickness. This world is really full of troubles and trials. It certainly is. The issue for us, guys, is not necessarily the trial itself. The issue is how we handle it, how we thrive when we're in the middle of hard times. What do we do? How do we respond? How do we react? See, God is more concerned with our response than the trial itself. We're concerned about the trial. God's more concerned about our response. Some of you will remember the great classic verse from James 1, verse 2. I memorized it. Consider it all joy when trials come into your life. Consider it all joy. Yay! when trials come in your life, when that big thumb comes, consider it joy. A believer has an opportunity to respond to trials, even though they're so unsettling. The second truth about trials is where's God when the crisis hits? Number two, our trials are appointed. Let's look at the last part of verse 3. This is really interesting. I'll come back to that. Now I ruined it. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Paul is saying, you know, sending Timothy to encourage you and be that hope for you, but hey, we all are destined for these troubles. Yay, good job. And when I saw that word destined, I instantly thought of McFly going, I'm your density. You remember that in Back to the Future? Density. We are destined. That original word destined is interesting here too. The Greek word means that we are placed into a specific circumstance. I mean, literally, right there into that trial, into that issue, that we're appointed, we're destined to be in that. And that's an interesting thought, because then you start going, wow, what's going on? Who's driving this boat anyway, right? It reminds me of the story of Job in the Old Testament, right? What happened to Job? There was this interaction between the devil and God, and God allowed all this trouble and all this trial to come on to Job, wanted to see how Job would respond, how he would react. And Job was not perfect, and he learned great things as he suffered terribly, but he never stopped blessing the name of the Lord, knowing that his Redeemer lived. He gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, some of you have gone through those kind of horrible ordeals. I'm happy to pray for you for your deliverance. I'm happy to pray for deliverance. But you know what? Sometimes we need to remember that God has actually put us into this trial or trouble for a reason. And so our prayers might be, Lord, I would sure like this to be gone, but if you've got something you want to teach me through this, if you've got something you want to show me, have at it. I don't know how you pray, but just say, Lord, so be it, right? Amen, amen. I mean, there's been a lot going on, and I don't want to embarrass Robert, but Robert, you and your wife, you guys have gone through some really challenging things the last few months, and just all sorts of stuff, relationship stuff, court stuff, you know, legal stuff, big thing with losing a job because of standing up for what he thought was right, losing his job. And it was just, there were so many times when we as a home group and just as friends and others were just saying, God, where are you? It didn't feel like anything was going right. It didn't feel like any kind of blessing was coming their way. And it was so, I don't know if we use the word fun is right, but it was so amazing a couple of weeks ago to just finally see a victory and just be able to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'm so full of praise, still full of praise, how these guys have stood strong when it seemed like everything was going against them. Not perfect, but they've held the course. And I praise the Lord for that. It's so encouraging to me. Because, you know, people like that, when you're going through hard times, you have to use that faith muscle a lot. It's really hard, right? It's really, really hard. God, where are you? I'm going to praise you no matter what. Yeah. I'm not saying that God causes bad things to happen, but he will use those bad things to chip away at us so that we can become more and more like Jesus, right? So trials are appointed. But third, they should be expected. Kind of the same thing. But verse 4 is interesting. Paul continues, even while we were with you, we warned you. We warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. And what's so fascinating about this is these guys are all brand new believers. The last thing you want to do to a new believer is tell them, this is going to really be hard. This is going to hurt a little. If you come to Jesus, you know, we don't do that in America anymore. We just say, come to Jesus and you'll have purpose in your life. Everything will be rosy and wonderful and amazing. And it is amazing. It is wonderful. But anybody who seriously considers being under the lordship of Christ and what Nick was talking about earlier about the sovereignty of God, being under that, we should expect life to be hard. And we should expect to be swimming upstream when everyone else is going the other way. Trials should be expected. Paul is just such an encouragement here. You guys are going to have a hard time at this. This is going to be hard. Praise the Lord. It's going to be so exciting. But I love his realism. I do love his realism, letting us know what to expect. From a commentary that I read this last week, says this: when troubles come, Christians often react by doubting that they're where God wants them to be. Anybody relate to that? Do you doubt where God, that you're where he wants you to be? You often think that they have done something wrong, that God must be displeased with them. Yet storms often come to believers to make them able to stand firm rather than to blow them away. I really believe that. I think that's a word of encouragement for us. So they should be expected. Fourth, trials may lead to temptation. Wow, just gets better and better, doesn't it? Verse 5, that's why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still wrong. Here's the spy part. Sent Timothy to go check on you guys. How's your faith doing? And I was afraid, Paul says, that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that your work had been useless. This is just a great reminder for every single one of you. The devil is on mission. And he's on mission to destroy you, to take you out, to make you weaker. What's going on in our life that the Satan will use to tempt us to turn away from God rather than to him? I see three ways that Satan tempts us. A, he tempts us to doubt that God's good. Or he doesn't care anymore, or that he's just so far away. He's not close. I think we've all felt that a little bit when we succumb to it. Then it gets scary. Then we get into spiritual warfare. A lot of you know. I think I was there at least once when Bonnie was at her sickest, my wife, and just that struggle of, God, where are you in this? What is going on? I just don't get it. And when it got to that point of that darkest point, it just really questioning God. And the challenge for every single one of us is how we react, how we respond to what's happening. We don't have to fall for the temptation. B, Satan tempts us to retaliate, to get mad, to resent. Yeah, right? Some of you, we can't do anything else. If we're not in control, what are we going to do? Get mad. We're going to push. Some run, others want to fight. The third thing Satan does is he tempts us to give in to despair and disappointment. Mm-mm-mm. The person who believes the devil's traps will turn away from God completely and they'll lose their faith. Nothing so sad than this. I just want to challenge you, guard your heart, guard your body, guard your life while in a crisis. Understand that you're being preyed upon by the tempter himself. Don't listen to the father of lies. Don't listen to him, all right? Fifth thing about trials that Paul explains to us in verse 6 is that we can overcome trials by faith. Praise the Lord. Finally, some good news here. Now, Timothy has just returned from Thessalonica back to Athens or somewhere, maybe down in Corinth by this time, and he's brought us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. That simply that phrase of good news about your faith and your love, I'm going to grab that and just say that's the hope that we have. Faith and love. Victorious through the crisis. I'm so encouraged when I see someone be victorious through a hard time. It encourages me so much. And I just want to challenge you guys to have that faith, that muscle, to build that up, to have faith in God like never before. When I talk about faith in God, here's where I want some help from you guys. When I talk about faith in God, what are we talking about? What is our faith about God in? What about God are we believing or trusting God in? Help me out. Just ideas. Okay, he's making a way. Okay, his constant presence, his character. He'll always be there, right? Good. Say again, Sierra. He's constantly taking care. Good. To believe in his promises. Yeah. God is good all the time. We used to say that in the 90s. That kind of became too cliche. But but it's true that there's goodness in God, and it will always go back to God's goodness no matter how hard it is. If we, he'll never leave us. Exactly. To believe who we are in Christ, that's important. I love you guys are talking about things, and to believe in God's word like never before. We talked about that last Sunday, and to trust that no matter what happens, there's truth that we gotta hold on to. His purpose, you guys talked about that. His promise is that he will never leave us or forsake us. That promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that says, when that big thumb comes down and squeezes us hard, the Lord promises that no temptation will overtake you except what's common to everyone, and God will always provide a way out. Whether it's kind of an evil temptation, like a sin temptation, or it's just a persecution or a crisis, God promises a way out if we continue to trust in him. That's faith. That's a muscle that's got to be worked on, guys. We've got to grow and exercise that muscle of faith, and we need each other. We can help each other develop our faith, and that's what the last thing is. Where's God when the crisis hits? Our victories will encourage others. Just like some of the little victories that I'm seeing in some of your lives, it encourages me so much. It gives me hope. It says, yes, God, it makes me want to worship him and praise him. And it continues to keep me on my knees for the other needs that are going on. My faith is stronger. My faith is built. And we need that. I love that newer song by Casting Crowns. It's called Thrive. Have you guys heard that? Just to know you and to make you known. Oh, I didn't read the verse. Let's read the verse first. So, because that's the most important thing. 7 and 8. We have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles. Paul and Silas have been greatly encouraged in their troubles. Why? Dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong. That's what I did. We get encouraged by others. So here's that Thrive song. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run on high. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. And I love that. I love the hope that that gives. And it's so scriptural. Our victories encourage each other. And so take that as part of the fun, part of the challenge of being in a crisis. Is your response, your reaction, your faith can have such a ministry on somebody else who's watching. Or the opposite is also true. How you do kind of make all the wrong decisions in the crisis, that affects your friends and your family and your church in the opposite way. It discourages us. So be strong. Victories will encourage others. All right? Good stuff here. That's it for the scripture. I just want to challenge you guys that the Lord really will be there for us when things get so hard. I don't know what God's going to do in the Krauss family. I don't know what God's going to do in the different things going on. I know Shelly, you guys know Shelly, her cousin, also 30 years old, killed just like that this last week. And so many other things going on. It's just like just crazy, crazy. I love what God said in Isaiah. And I just want to remind you one more time of his promise. Don't be afraid, for I've ransomed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you go through the deep waters, where's he going to be? He will be with us. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. Amen. When you walk through the fire of opposition, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. It's not good to suffer. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. But suffering is good if it leads us back to the Lord. So let's encourage each other with grace and joy. Lean into God. Don't push away. Lean into God. Lean into God. Let me close with the prayer that Paul gives us at the end of chapter 3. Would you stand with me and let's use this as our closing prayer. After all those things that he has said so far, he wants to pray for the Thessalonians. And I hear Paul praying for us as well. I can pray this for you even. It feels like these are the right words. I'll put it up here. No, I don't have it up here. All right. That's fine. Here it is, the end of chapter 3. Let's pray together. May the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. And may he, as a result, make your hearts strong, blameless, holy, as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Can our church say amen? Amen. Amen. Go be the church. God bless you guys. Stay strong in the crisis. God is there.